Last week we stopped at verse 19, but we do have to go back because we're going to start on verse 20, which is sort of like a small doxology. And actually, you'll see the great connection between verses 16 and 17 and 18. This verse here, we'll read it in a minute, but you'll see why he does this. And he didn't just throw this in there. And this verse has tremendous meaning. If we study this verse, you can spend hours, because it reveals a lot about God's ways. It reveals a lot about prayer, which is, is supposed to be a part of our lives, of our existence. Again, we cannot even communicate with God, nor get anything from Him or anything without prayer. Prayer is communication with God. And so it involves petitioning and asking and seeking. And this is so much of the spiritual walk that we have to live each day. So each day we need the spirit of prayer. But again, we'll see the conditions, and we have something to do with it, and God has something to do with it. So we may spend more time on that verse, and it's worth going back, looking at several other scriptures, just to remind us often, while we're getting knowledge, while we want wisdom, it's mainly so we can seek God's will, find His will, and do His will, and get answers so we're able to do His will. This is what we're after, to know the will of the Lord and to do it. That is the working out of our salvation and God working in us and working out what He wants done. So it's this knowledge is not meant to be a passive. It's meant to stimulate faith and action. So again, you'll see there's the human side to this. That all the promises of God are yea and amen under certain conditions and under a right heart. And if certain things don't apply, then you've got people running around standing on Scripture and quoting Scripture, and they'll drop dead doing it. And they will not get no response from God. And yet you can have proper knowledge and have the wisdom. And yet if you're not obeying the Lord, it will not work, because God's not obligated to answer you. See, so we see why wisdom is the proper use of knowledge. Wisdom to us is to find and know the will of God. And then we can pray effectively. Or we'll know what to pray for, what not to pray for. How to get God's mind in our day-to-day living. How to not waste time, our time in God, seeking things He has no intentions of giving us. Or things that aren't for now, that we're supposed to lay aside and put on the altar, or things that God says, hey, that's not on my mind now. I have other things on my mind. And see, this is where we need to know these things, or we're going to be talking to the air, and God's not going to be listening. Okay, but first let's go back up to verse 16 and 17 mainly. He prayed that He would give you according to the abundance, the riches of His glory, of what God has, and He has everything. To be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. So He's telling the believer, you must be strengthened. You must have power. But He's telling you where it's going to be. It's not going to be in the human nature, in its own self-seeking, in its own personality, in its own thoughts. See, again, that's just going to cut out a lot of this faith and prosperity teachings of how I can get God to answer me. You don't get God to answer you. You find God's will, and then you pray it into being. See, you don't manipulate God. See, many people are looking for this great magic formula of how they're going to get God to do something. It's nothing but witchcraft. Scripture doesn't say that. Scripture implies all asking of God must be according to principles. His will must be involved, His purposes. He ain't interested in answering self-seeking prayers. And that's what you'll find that most people are praying. Because they don't know Scripture. And they won't grow up. And see, this is a part of what this whole chapter and the next chapter is going to be about. They're praying into the air. They're doing what James says. They're praying amiss. They're talking to God and thinking they're exercising faith, and He ain't listening. Because they haven't learned His ways and His principles, and they've not walked with Him. And He has no intentions of answering the carnal man. He answers the carnal and the lukewarm and the worldly with warning and judgment. That's how He answers them. He does not answer them with covenant blessings. He cannot. it's contrary to his nature. See, so if we understand these things about God, then we say, oh, okay, I have to take care of these things before I even approach God. You know, and we've talked about it before, in the parables. You can know Scripture and you can know God's mind, but if you have bitterness and unforgiveness and envy, you dare not go to God. You don't ask Him. You take care of what? The sin. See, people don't understand it. They think they're going to sidestep God. No, there's no tricking God. See, that's why each day we need to keep this channel open. And wisdom gives us the ability to know what's wrong, what's not wrong, what we need to pursue. It gives us the proper use of knowledge. You know, and it causes us to know the will of God, which the Scripture says we're not to be foolish, but knowing the will of the Lord. But we're not going to know it unless we seek Him, we obey Him, and we understand who He is and what principles the kingdom works by. Okay, so first of all, up here, He's saying He wants us to be strengthened through the Spirit in the inner man. See, now immediately that limits where He's going to strengthen. He's only interested in the new man's interests. He's only interested in the kingdom's interests. See, that again excludes so much praying is nothing but self-seeking and what people want. James called it, you want things to consume on your own lust and desires. You're not really interested in God's will. You're just desperate for something and you're hoping you can twist God's arm. Well, I'm sorry, James says you're not going to get anything from God. You might get judgment from Him. And this is much of the praying today. It's nothing but self-seeking, motivated by self-interest. Never considers God's will in the matter. It's just desperation. I want this and I want that. And God says, that's tough. You know, you were supposed to die and go to the cross. I'm not really that interested in what you want unless it lines up with me and my kingdom. So again, then we start to rethink this thing. And we don't try to sidestep God. And we don't try to play games with God. Well, maybe if I do this, He'll give me that. You're still of the carnal mind. You still walk as men and you're praying as vain. See, so again, now you see how important it is. Save your breath. And when you pray, at least you'll say, hey, I'm building on something that's sound. I'm interested in God's will in this matter. And if I'm not interested in God's will in the matter, I dare not talk to God about it. I better go to God and ask Him to start changing my heart because something's wrong with me. I've set my mind on earthly things and I've not set my mind on spirit. And see, again, it falls into place. And again, we will understand why at times we cannot get answers or why God will not answer us. Or He gives us the answer sometimes we don't want to hear. And that's called taking up your cross and following Him. He's simply saying, that's not my will. And you know, He was, oh. So we go another way. Well, how can I get God to change His mind? Sometimes you can't. That's the sad thing. Sometimes God doesn't change His mind. He says, that's not of my kingdom. I'm not in this. Now go on. And then you seek people who try to sidestep God, and then He says, oh. And He gives them what they want. He lets the devil give it, but no blessing, a curse goes with it. Because He's not in it. See, He gave them what they lusted after. We loathe what you're giving us. See, God said He gave them manner to humble them and discipline them. And they said, we loathe this. It satisfied their taste. It satisfied everything they needed. But they wanted variety. You know why people want variety? They're restless. They're never satisfied. See, they were discontented. No matter what God did for them, discontent was there. See, because their heart hadn't changed. And He was doing this to discipline them. He said, I fed you with manna to humble you. And they kept saying what? Well, we hate this. We don't like this. I'd rather have fish and garlic. And, you know, they lost their soul over fish and garlic. You know, and things like this. And they wanted to go back to the world because I want this and I want that. And they hadn't understood that He called them out. And they didn't make it because of these lusts and desires. They would not submit. They would not have nothing. They despised the chastening of the Lord. They despised His training. And therefore He loathed them eventually. See, He kept trying and they wouldn't listen. But He said, but eventually He got tired of hearing their cries. Well, I want this. I want this. And He says, okay. And while it's even in your nostrils, I'll give you abundance of what you ask for. But I'll send the wasting disease, the destroyer, with it. And while you're enjoying this thing, death will visit you. That's what He said. While you're enjoying this thing. death will destroy you. And he destroyed the ones who lusted the most, the fattest ones, it said, the ones who were gluttonous of this flesh and the strongest in their drives. He destroyed them. But see, he gave them what they wanted. But see, they weren't interested. He was. If they knew, they would have backed up real quickly and said, maybe I don't need this. But see, these are lessons the Scripture says for us. Okay, so God is only going to deal with your inner man. He is not interested in your self-man, your self-esteem, your interests, only as they fall in line with His kingdom and His purposes. That's all He's interested in. Well, I hate to pop your balloon, but see, you keep forgetting when you came to the Lord, you gave up your life. And maybe you need to remind yourself you're not your own. And everything you have and everything you are has to come under the kingdom's control. And if it doesn't, then the problem is you need to deal with it. Because God ain't going to change the kingdom principles for you or for me. See, we have to fall in line. We have to submit all things. We're in a different kingdom now. Okay, and the kingdom of God is to do what? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that means anything in my life, anything I want, anything that consumes me, anything that I'm interested in has to be brought in that context. Is it in the will with God and His kingdom? Then it starts narrowing it down, doesn't it? See? Okay. All right, notice what he says. So he's going to wants to do this in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your spirits, in your hearts, by faith, being rooted and grounded, you may be able to understand, is what he's talking about. See, you're not going to understand spiritual things. You're not going to grow up. You're not going to understand God until he strengthens the inner man and starts giving him wisdom of how I am. And see, many people, year after year, are still asking God for something he has no intentions of giving them. And it stunts their spiritual growth. And it causes many of them to backslide because they keep coming and coming. And they weary themselves. And God don't change. See, he's the Lord who changes not. And if he gives them what they want, they'll be worse off in the end. And, you know, again, God, he gives the examples. He told them they wanted a worldly king. They didn't want God to be their leader. And he says, okay, eventually he says, I'll give you that. But you'll despise one day for asking me, and when you ask for help, I won't help you. And when you cry out to me, I won't hear you. See, that's the law of sowing and reaping. And it applies to the Christian. See, that's why you have to be careful what you ask for. By the time you figured out you made a mistake, God will say, well, that's too late. Now you have to bear this. You have to bear the reproach of this the rest of your life. See, that's his right. And then that's what teaches us sometimes is these hard experiences. And it's meant to keep us from repeating these things. Okay, now come down. Now notice what he says, now to him. This is a doxology. He's actually, if you go to the next verse, to him be glory. So he's saying, now to him be glory. Who? God the Father, the Lord. To him be all praise and glory and honor. Why? And notice what he says. Who is able? Who is able? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's an interesting statement. According to the power that works in us. All of what he said there, he has just mentioned up above. You'll find it there except for one part. The asking and the thinking. See, that's left to us. But this whole statement is meant to produce faith in us and hope. That's the whole intention of this doxology. If you read it, he's saying he's able to do exceedingly abundantly. Okay, up at verses 16, by what? The riches in his glory. How is he going to do it? By the power that works in us. Verse 16 again, what is that power? His spirit. See, he's simply telling us how he works. He's going to do it that way. But he leaves something out for us. And again, it's the asking and the thinking. See, the statement's meant to produce faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. He just stated word. He just gave us the spirit of wisdom. See, this is Paul, in a sense, saying, I would not have you ignorant. I'm going to tell you this. So once God does that, he's already revealed to you a principle. He's given you what? The spirit of wisdom. And it's meant to incite faith. So what is the faith is? If you're strengthened in the inner man, that God is well able to answer prayer. If the motivation's right, you know, and if it's coming from the right source, he's well able to answer. He has much of everything. He's not stingy. He can give abundantly if it's in the right spirit, what we're asking for. Okay? So the statement's meant to tell us to have faith in this, that not only is God able to do this, He's capable of doing this, where He's going to do it, and who He's going to do it through. See, it gives us the faith to trust, oh, then it isn't all dependent on me. He's already stated the principles and how He's going to do this. And so what do? We believe what He says. See, we believe what He says. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So see, then we respond to this. And what do? We start to ask and we start to think according to that rule. According to what He's shown us. And see, we can have faith to do this. Because then our asking is not in vain. Our asking will not be selfish if we understand the verse about the inner man. Okay, let's go on a little. Able. What does it say? He is able to do. He's able to work. He's able to perform. Okay, over in Romans. I said this whole statement has to do with inciting faith and hope. Now look at Romans chapter 4. The great man of faith, the father of faith, Abraham. Chapter 4, look at verse 20 and 21. He, Abraham, did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Where was he strengthened in faith? In his inner man. And who did it? The Spirit helped him. The Spirit helped him under his covenant. He was able. God gave him as he obeyed God. But notice what it said. He strengthened in faith, given glory to God, given honor and praise. See, he believed. And being fully convinced, this is what faith is. He was fully convinced. See why? Because the promise was given. He had walked with God enough to know God's word was true. He understood the conditions. That what he had promised, he was able to perform. What did he have faith in? That not whatever God said under the right conditions, the promise, the covenant, he knew God was capable of doing it. And he believed he would do it. It produced what? Faith in him. And he saw that God was able. And his believing this, what did he believe? God is able. And God keeps his word. And he kept his. So you see then, it produced faith in Abraham. And the scripture says it was accounted to him as righteousness. He believed God's word. God made statements to him and he took God at his word. And so he's telling us the same thing here. There are certain things, kingdom principles, that when we know and understand, then we can have assurance. That's what faith is, that God will keep His word when we understand His ways and we meet the conditions. And we find His will in the matter. Okay. Abundantly. Okay, He wants to give abundantly, but I want to go back to Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, because wisdom has a lot to do with this. Because his whole context of this epistle, he starts with this prayer. Now, he says that God is able to do with us abundantly above what we ask or think, you know, according to his riches and glory, that God's able. But see, again, if we backed up, we had to see that God had to show us some things about how he's going to do things, who he's going to do it through, under what conditions. And see, this is why Paul prayed this over here in chapter 1, verse 17 and 18 real quickly, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, the proper use of knowledge, the knowing of God's wills and purposes, and the unveiling, the revelation in the knowing of Him, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. He's saying only the spirit of wisdom can do this. See, that's when we cease being natural and we cease walking after the human side. He said, when the Spirit starts showing you these things, it produces what? Faith. You're no longer guessing. See? Faith cometh by hearing the rhema of God, the life-breathing. See, then it's the promise that becomes the prophecy in a sense. This is where the rhema word comes in. That when we have the spirit of wisdom, we're taking the principles of God and the Spirit's applying them at the moment. He's given life. See, you don't run through the scripture searching for promises like many people think. No. You follow the Lord day by day and see what He's revealing at that time, and He gives grace and faith and measure. And He gives His purposes. See, you're not going to believe God, well, God, you're going to tell me this on a certain day, and blah, blah. He don't work that way. sufficient unto the day. See, He'll give you wisdom to live today and walk today. And He'll only give what you need in the future if it's relative to what He's doing. You know? But He's not interested in a lot of things that we get it backwards. Okay? So He's telling us that He's going to do this. If you understand the whole context of this epistle, He's telling us that one of the main prayers that Paul prayed for us. Now, he asked and thought abundantly, didn't he? And what was the first thing he did? He prayed that we would understand, that we would have the Spirit of wisdom. Who's the Spirit of wisdom? The Holy Spirit, who gives us wisdom in our spirit. See, you see the link there. That He's the one who removes the veil. That when He shows what the Word of God is and the purpose, it stimulates faith in us. See, that's when the Word of God is alive and powerful. That's when faith can come in us. So you don't get faith by just trying to grab a scripture out of context, grab a promise that don't apply to you at the given time. See, that's again is trying to manipulate God. See, you're in control. God will not let you be in control. He has to be in control. These are the sons of God, those who are led of the Spirit, not those who lead the Spirit. See, we have to learn His way. We don't come to God with our agenda. We're supposed to find His agenda. See? And it gets easier. See, faith is easy when we know God's will and we obey it. But no matter what you do, all your positive thinking, all your quoting scriptures is not going to produce nothing. If it's from the old man or the natural man, it won't produce nothing with God. Because it has to be spiritual. God has to give the illumination. He has to give the strengthening in the inner man. It's your inner man that believes, not your old man. It's your inner man that has faith, and he has to be strengthened to have faith. And how is he strengthened? He's given wisdom and knowledge. He's shown things that God's telling him. This is what I want. This is what I'll do. And you go, oh, okay. See, it's the new man that recognizes this, not the old man. The old man cannot perceive the things of God. They don't make much sense to him. Okay, so he wants us, and he's telling us that this power... People forget, it says, the power that works in us. The power, notice the word, it works. He's able to do. It works. Grace and faith is active. Always has works involved and doing and laboring. See, there's never no separation. Again, it's heretics that separate it. Scripture doesn't. True faith works. True grace works. It performs. It's active. That's why James used what he did. That's what Paul used these statements. So when people say they can have faith and grace and not have works and labor, they've got the wrong thing. James said it can't be done. So see, God's grace works. It produces faith in us. But then we believe. We fall in line. He gives us the ability. But we have to what? Act and use it. And we have to hold to it. Because we have an adversary. The devil, the world, and our own nature that will contest us consistently, even when we know the truth. And even when we've had faith. See, this is because we're at war. Okay, this statement, okay, is again meant to produce faith in us. That God's going to do it in your inner man. He wants to give us the spirit of wisdom. He wants us to understand His will and purposes for us. That we'll know what He's leading us into and where we're to fit into the kingdom. And day by day, how we're to find His will. See, He wants this for us. But again, it's conditioned on understanding His ways. It's meant to produce faith. So again, what does it leave for us? To ask and to think. Okay, the asking is now the petitioning. We're to come to God and request something. We come because we need something. We need to know something. We need to have something. This is basically what the asking is. We're simply saying, I need something I can't do for myself. And God's saying, well, I have everything. Let's find out what fits where. And it says, above what you're able to think. It means that your natural mind cannot comprehend a lot of the spiritual things. And we have to get the mind of Christ on these things. We don't sit there and think of, well, do this, God, and do that. So you don't find people dictating to God how to answer their prayers. He isn't interested. See, because again, it's man's in control. It's self-seeking. And the spiritual man, and the inner woman is always interested in God's way and God's will, and it be done His way and His will. You know, and we need to follow this same principle. Okay, go back. I'm going to give you two quick scriptures, you know, and we go to them all the time when we talk about prayer, but it's relative. If this one scripture is meant to incite asking, to ask, you have to think. You have to consider what you need to pray, and then you proceed to do this. Okay? So again, we saw it, but there are conditions. Okay, he gave us that we, how God's going to do it. He's going to do it through his Holy Spirit. He's going to do it in the inner man, and he's going to give us the ability to comprehend, to understand. See, this is what wisdom is. It gives discernment, it gives knowledge, it gives understanding. Wisdom sums up these things. Get wisdom, the scripture says. Wisdom is the principal thing. With all thy wisdom, get understanding. Understanding, discernment, enlightenment, illumination are all just facets of wisdom. You know, we're shown how to do things and how to get the help to do it. So again, he's telling us it's going to only be in the inner man. The Holy Spirit's going to only work with the new man. He's not going to work with the old man. So immediately that tells us what? I have to ask in the Spirit. I have to ask in the Lord's Word, in the Lord's ways. I can't be asking selfishly. Okay? But see, if we do that, we can have faith. Okay, go over to James real quickly. See, we want the spirit of wisdom, and James comes at it another way. You all know this one. Look at chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 real quickly. If any of you lacks wisdom, okay, so he's saying they were suffering and under conflict, then you definitely need wisdom. When you're under persecution or having problems and you're being attacked, you need wisdom. Need God's mind and ability and strength in the matter and how to pray about this. If any of you does not have wisdom, let him do what? Ask of God. Well, you are asking why? Because you've thought this thing out. Boy, this is hard. You know, your mind has said, I need something. I need strengthening. I need power. I need an answer. And so what does it do? It causes us to come to God and say what? Okay, you're the source. All right, God, I'm coming. Okay, I come with faith. Notice what he says. He gives to all liberally, without reproach, it will be given to him. He what? He is able to do exceedingly abundantly by his riches and glory above all that we ask. He says he's well capable of giving you whatever you need and more if necessary. Where sin abounds, grace does more abound. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up whatever's needed to meet that. So again, having done all, stand. See, every answer, he knows how to answer these things and to give the power. But notice what he says here. But let him ask in faith. And only the new man can do this. Only the new woman can do this. And to ask in faith, you have to be right. You're going to see what the conditions are. Not only are you going to have to find out what God's mind is, but notice what he says. Without doubting. Okay, well, that's the opposite of faith and trust. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Now listen, this is a command of the Lord. For let not that man or woman suppose that he or she will receive anything from God. What is he saying? If you do not ask according to the inner man, if you do not have faith, and faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, the wisdom of God, so you're not going to get nothing from God. He's already told you. You're not going to get anything. And he explains why. For a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So again, he's saying, you can ask for wisdom. And you can ask and think and you can seek. But you need the spirit of wisdom. But you better come in faith. Now we said once we hear the word, it produces faith. But what hinders faith? Now we'll go over John, and he'll tell us some things that hinder faith. So again, he's telling us God will give you wisdom abundantly in all of your trials and all of your problems, that it's God's will to do this. He wills to answer. The answer may not be what you want, but he does will to answer. He may not desire to deliver you. He'll give you grace in the situation. Or he might want to deliver you out of it. See, that's what we have to find out. I either get grace for the problem or ask for deliverance out of it, you know. Or he'll tell us sometimes why he wants to work in us. And we have to bear the cross and bear the trouble and say, okay, then if this is of the Lord, then I can't fight it. I can't be like Jonah and run from God's word because it'll just give me more trouble later. Okay, go over to John, 1 John. So we have to ask in faith. Now unto him is able, that is to produce faith in us, that he can do abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the Spirit that works in the new man. So he's capable, he's able, and James says he's willing. See, that should produce what? Faith in us. That God's saying, I want you to have wisdom, and if you don't, ask. You know, ask in faith. Assurance is what it means. And what was Abraham? It said he was fully persuaded. He believed. He asked. And he expected. Because he met the conditions. You know? And God strengthened him. Okay, notice 1 John again. We've read this many times. I have to go over this a lot when I'm praying. Chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. It's interesting. He doesn't mention the word faith. When he says, now unto him is able to do abundantly above all the ask or think according to the power that works in you. That statement's meant what? To produce faith. He doesn't even mention it. The word faith. Why? Because he expects a response to this. He expects us to have faith. You know, it's almost an automatic assumption that faith comes very easily when there are no barriers. See, Abraham obeyed God consistently. That's why faith was easier for him. Oh, he had trials and conflicts. But he saw the mind of God and the will of God. He couldn't comprehend it all. He couldn't put it all together. But he says, I know and I'm persuaded that he's going to do what he said. And his was based on a real word of God, not a guessing. Of course, it was tested greatly. Okay, look what he says. Beloved, 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, our spirit, our conscience, we have faith toward God. That's what the word confidence means. So he's saying what? You must have faith. So James says if you want wisdom, you have to have faith. John says you can't have faith if you ain't right with God. So faith has a lot to do with being right with God. So see, a lot of these faith teachers and people exercising faith aren't right with God. They're not only wrong in doctrine and in heresies and false teaching, they're wrong in their own personal seeking. They're having faith for covetous things, demonic things, selfish things, worldly things. And see, it can't be the faith of God. It's false. See, it's self-seeking. It doesn't fit into the kingdom principles. And that's why everybody goes after it. See, it appeals to the old nature. It appeals to the carnal and the worldly and the demonic. See, it's really at the root of it, it's self-seeking. And see, and James says that kind of wisdom doesn't come from God. He says it's earthly. He used the word carnal. It's of the earth. Then he went a step forward. He said, or lower. He said it's diabolical. That kind of faith, that kind of wisdom don't come from God. It comes from the devil. See why? It's self-seeking. Okay, notice what he says though. If your heart does not judge you, saying your conscience, if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're walking in the Word, it should not smite you if sin is not present. If you're not at error with God, if you're not in rebellion, if you're not disobeying Him, then your conscience should say, okay, my conscience is okay here. And that should produce what? Faith. See, it should be automatic. What does it say here? If our heart does not condemn us, we have faith. It didn't say, now you can go get faith. See, it has faith in its own because it knows it's right with God. It knows the principles of God and who God is, and it knows it can approach Him. And see, there's where Hebrews says, come boldly with assurance, faith, to the throne of grace. See, you don't have to come like this. See, you don't have to sit and walk outside thinking, well, how am I going to deal with this when I face Him? See, faith says what? There's nothing between me and God. I'm dealing with it before I come. You know, I'm not going to have to go to God and say, would you help me with this guy and do that? And God says, I'm not interested in that. What about the sin in your life? See, you can't come with assurance you're going to get anything. You come with the assumption I may be reproved and rebuked. And see, that's why James could also say, you have not because you ask not. See, he knew why many of these people wouldn't even ask. Because they'd already figured part of it out. Their own conscience was striking them. And he says, and when you do ask, you don't receive. See, some of them had already figured it out and they didn't even bother coming. They were smarter than the ones who came. He says, and you don't receive because you ask for selfish reasons that you can consume it among your own lust and desire. You're self-seeking. You're not interested in God's will. You're interested in getting God to give you worldly things. And God says that's from the devil and not in it. Okay. Notice what he says. We have confidence toward God. And now he tells us how to maintain this conscience and how to have a pure conscience. Notice what he said. And he gives us faith again. So notice, if we have confidence, what happens if we have faith? And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Isn't it interesting? He's able to do abundantly above what we ask or think. So we can come and ask and think and know. This is faith. Faith knows. And be assured, like Abraham, fully persuaded that he's able to do. See, because your conscience isn't judging you. You know you're right with God. And if you're not, you get right. But see, a lot of people begin to try to play this game. They don't live right, and they go trick God. Oh, I'll get right now, I ask God. It don't work that way. Often God tests your loyalty. And he won't answer many things until he's tested your loyalty. See, you don't play no games with God. You don't trick God into anything. You trick yourself. See, he can't be tricked. He knows us. He knows the principles. He knows, even before we ask, he knows motive and intent. See, that's why we have to judge ourselves. Okay, whatever we ask, we receive from him. Now notice, he's speaking from faith now. He didn't say we might receive, or we hope we'll get. What does he say here? Whatever we ask, we receive. Isn't it interesting? He's speaking now, why? From a fully assured conscience that is convinced. Nothing. God is going to answer that. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. See, it didn't say he might do it. See, faith knows this. And so he's saying that true faith has, and this praying thing has to be what? Assured before God. He can't have something wrong with him and God. There can't be sin in the picture, or you can't do this thing properly. And notice what he says. It says, we ask from him. We get whatever we ask. And now he tells us the condition again. Because, okay, why is he going to answer us? First of all, we find the will of God. We get wisdom. We ask in faith, and we can only ask in faith if our heart doesn't judge us. And then if our heart doesn't condemn us, we can have assurance. And how do we figure this out? He tells us. Because, he's saying that you can have faith and confidence, and your heart will not judge you under these conditions. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That covers a lot, don't it? It says you can't really have faith to ask God for anything if you don't keep his word. That implies what? Lordship. And to please God, you must keep his word. And then the scripture says you can't please God without faith. Notice the connection again. So keeping God's word and walking in the Spirit automatically produce faith in us. And then we just exercise it. See? So it becomes simple. It's not something complicated, you know. And he told us what these commandments were. But we'll go on now. Okay, go back to Ephesians. So again, this statement real quickly. Now, him is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That is meant to incite faith and hope in us. James tells us about this wisdom, how to get it. John tells you about the faith and the assurance. And see, when these things fit together, then you can say what he said. Then we know we have those things. You see, it implies what? If you get wisdom, you'll know God's will. You'll find God's will. And you won't be saying, if, what, help, hope, of. You know, you'll be fully assured, like Abraham was. You don't want to spend 10 years playing a guessing game and find out you're wasting your breath. Many people I know have done this. Because, see, they got the wrong word. They got the word they wanted to hear. They didn't rightly handle. They misinterpreted God. They molded the scripture to suit what they wanted, but in the end, they didn't get what they wanted. They should have come back and said, because they really didn't have wisdom. They were presumptuous. They were self-seeking. They didn't meet God's conditions, and he did. And what does James says? Let not that person think, ask or think, that he shall receive anything from God. No, he's not going to sit and listen to you whine and cry and say, oh, I'll feel sorry for you and give it to you anyway. That's a lying spirit. He doesn't do that. He does not appeal to the old man and the whining, self-centered person. It's contrary. God does not feed self-pity. Okay. So, and he finishes the doxology. Now to him, verse 20, 21, to him be glory. Who? The Father, God, glory, honor, power, everything we attribute to him. Be glory where? In the church. Okay, he's still talking about the body of Christ. It's the Spirit in you. It's the Spirit praying and working in the believer that is going to do these things that God requires. So he's going to do the answering and the working how? Through his people, always. All the gifts of the Spirit, all of the graces that God gives always have to come through the believers. That's how he set it up. You know, you don't find no scripture in the New Covenant that God is going to answer man's prayers or anything separate from man. It's the Spirit's going to do it through him and in him and reveal it in him and through him. And you see, all gifts and all ministries are subject to God and they're subject to the person. No separation. See, that's why we see. It's going to be where? God's going to work in the church. And by who? Christ Jesus. And by who? When we say Christ Jesus, he's going to do it in the person of the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit of Christ. And he says where? When? Through all ages, world without end. He's not only going to do it in this life, but in the ages to come. He's still going to work through us and in us. We are going to be his temple. Once he entered us. See, we're the temple of God forever if we're faithful to the end. Once we cross over, we don't cease being the temple of God. He says, what? God and the Lamb will be the light. God and the Lamb will be the temple. You know, it's going to be interesting. See, there'll be no ceasing, just the going on. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, for this reason, the prisoner of the Lord, remember he's in prison, I beg you, entreat you, it's a serious plea, to have a walk worthy of his or the calling. Walk worthy of his calling. Okay, what is that? Hold your place. Ephesians 2:19. What is he talking about now? Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So that's the calling. See, we have been called into the one body, the church. And God's Spirit's going to work in us. Everything he's going to do, he's going to do in us in the new covenant. Okay? The covenant is in us. Okay. Notice what he says then. With all lowliness, gentleness, humility is what it means. Gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, how? In love. Okay, why is he saying this? He's saying now, because you're in this one body, you Gentiles have entered in into this new creation. He says, now what? Walk in humility. You don't have no right. The Gentile believer has no right to be proud over the Jewish believer. The Jewish believer can't say, well, I've got it better than you have. There is no Greek. There is no free, nor bond, nor slave, nor male, nor female. It means in that principle, God sees no distinction. As far as that relationship in the body, he makes no distinction. So he's telling you, don't be proud because you have this and this one, this one's rich and one's poor. He says that's no place in God's kingdom. Okay? See, so he's saying, if you understood this. And see, wisdom what? The wisdom from above is pure and gentle. It's not self-seeking. So see, if you really have wisdom, you cannot be proud. You'd be stupid to be proud if you have wisdom. Because why? Wisdom would say, if you're proud, God's going to humiliate you and judge you. But if you're humble and think lowly and stop thinking of yourself and thinking of others, he says, God will give you grace. So that's why he's given the warning here. You know, that you won't be having schisms among the body of Christ. That there won't be these problems that are unnecessary. Because something's going to happen. And he's going to get into this. I guess we better take a break here.